It's back to school season, and with it comes the typical list of supplies that all kids have loaded into their backpacks. Pencils, books, worksheets, a water bottle, and now that list also includes a mask. Though most kids have become accustomed to new masking rules, not every school, teacher, and parent is happy. In some districts, the reaction to the new school year that includes masks might sound like this.
I just really saw a lot of smiling faces today. Smiling faces on the teachers. The students seem to be excited. I think a lot of students just really want to get out of the house.
But in others, it's a little more like this.
Someone in one of those public meetings will say that putting a mask on my child is child abuse. And that hurts.
Just last week, high school students in Gaylord and Celine walked out of their buildings, while students at Manchester High School walked into school unmasked, all in protest of mask mandates.
Right.
That if anybody that's going to go in, they got to have a mask on.
There is no policy.
I'm not arguing.
Okay, they can go in, guys.
They can go ahead. You guys, they can't touch you. Just go ahead and go in.
They can't touch us. Go in.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Last Tuesday was the first day of school for many students across Michigan. Our producer, Aaron Allen, and Michigan Radio's podcast producer, Rachel Ishikawa, spent some time with two families for the series Mornings in Michigan, talking to them about getting ready for the day. One family has an unvaccinated 7-year-old in a school district that is not requiring masks, and the other has a teenager who is vaccinated in a district with a mask mandate. Let's take a listen.
You got on your deodorant?
Yeah.
You got everything you need for practice. You took your medicine.
Tuesday, September 7th was Judah Shelton's first day back, in person, at school, in 543 days. He's 15, and he's a sophomore at Mary Grove High School, which is a part of the Detroit Public Schools Community District. It's one of the many districts in Michigan with a mask mandate. And Judah and his mother, Arlisa Hurd, say getting ready for school was just like riding a bike, right back into the groove of things.
Well, I began my day by getting my clothes all ironed.
Just got dressed, had breakfast. We do a regime of vitamins and stuff. We were doing that. We had prayer.
Father God, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. And we pray that you will protect Judah.
And then we were off to school.
School starts at 9 a.m. As Arlisa pulled up to Mary Grove, she caught a vibe.
I just really saw a lot of smiling faces today. Smiling faces on the teachers. The students seem to be excited. I think a lot of students just really want to get out of the house.
I asked Judah what the situation was when he got inside.
I'm not going to lie. We were pretty crowded in the building, so it wasn't really that much social distancing. But I think all of the students got tested before they came to the school.
Judah says COVID-19 tests weren't mandatory, but they did offer them on campus. And everyone was required to wear a mask while indoors and wear it above the nose.
I still don't get that. Like, you can't really breathe with a mask on. So
we can all agree that wearing a mask can be annoying, but the alternative would be virtual school, which Arlisa says was not good for Judah last year.
Everything a child can benefit from in the classrooms, connecting with other people, hands-on, all of that is all of the things that he needs. Because he didn't have that opportunity last year, and last year was his first year of high school, which is a milestone. So I was glad to see him back in the school.
But Arlisa says she's still worried about Judah's safety.
He plays football. Football is a contact sport. You're in close proximity to everybody, which is, I think, some of the reason why Judah decided to get vaccinated.
Yeah, Arlisa left it up to Judah to decide whether he wanted to get fully vaccinated. And he said he was kind of hoping to get superpowers out of it, but mostly it was for protection against the what-ifs.
What if, like, there comes a new disease and what if we're not prepared for that? What if the only survivors were the people with the vaccine?
What are you looking forward to tomorrow, next week?
I'm going to cheese neck every single person in that building.
What is this cheese necking?
Slap somebody on the neck and then just run. Or you could just take a wad of cheese and just...
Wow. Okay. Well, on that note...
Pandemic or not, some of us still don't miss high school, and for good reason. For Michigan Radio, I'm Erin Allen.
And I'm Rachel Ishikawa in Brighton. Here, unlike in Detroit, there are no mask requirements, which has left some caregivers asking, will my kid be the only one masked up? Caitlin Perry Dial is one of these parents. She has two kids, neither old enough to get the vaccine. Elliot, her oldest, is 7, and he's starting second grade after a year of virtual school. Caitlin is usually the first one up in the mornings.
And I make the coffee. And if it's early enough, I can enjoy a little bit of that before the chaos begins. That's kind of like my private time to, you know, have that outward anxiety before they wake up.
In our school district, masks are not mandatory, and it's become quite a hot button issue all over our county. But, you know, we've done our best to wear our masks and do our part in this pandemic.
All right, it's time to go wake up the boys.
Good morning, Elliot. Second day of school.
And then once the boys are up, it's basically like a shotgun to the door.
Yesterday at lunch recess, which it was the first recess, and I was trying to lift a tree.
You were trying to lift a tree?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It did not happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
All right, Theo, shoes on.
Let's go. I'm going to be... Let's go.
So this whole lead up to going back in person, it's been teetering on that edge of turmoil within myself and not showing that anxiety to Elliot.
Let's go. So, I have a question, Elliot. What will you do, or how do you think you'll feel if somebody picks on you for wearing a mask?
I'll just tell the teacher.
You just tell
first
the teacher?
He said he would go tell a teacher. And then I kind of pushed him and I said, well, what would you do if you didn't have a teacher around?
What would you say to them?
I would say, stop doing it, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And he said that he would say, stop it, I don't like what you're saying. And, you know, I think that that is an acceptable answer for a 7-year-old.
So, Elliot, you ready for day 2 of school?
Yeah.
Yeah? How are you feeling about yesterday?
Good.
Yeah?
You know, it's your child. You know just by looking at them what they're feeling. And so when Elliot says, oh, I feel good, but you can see that he's just kind of shrugging his shoulders and he doesn't have that light in his eyes that he always has when he does feel good, you know that he's just saying that answer to make me happy because he doesn't want me to worry.
Let's wait for the bus.
I'm proud of Elliot because I know that this has been really hard for him. That he did virtual school with a smile on his face. But I'm also proud of him for understanding that it's important to take care of other people.
Hey, I love you.
You too.
I'm so proud of you. And I know wearing a mask when other kids aren't wearing masks is kind of stressful, but you don't want to tell me. Okay. Can I have a kiss? Love you.
It's time for a short break. Coming up, Rachel and Erin have a little more to share about what they learned from these two families. Stick around.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all 3 campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
had some questions about the Michigan families with school kids that we just heard from. Our producer, Aaron Allen, and Michigan Radio podcast producer, Rachel Ishikawa, are sitting down with us now to answer them. Aaron, Rachel, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
Hey, Rachel, the family that you talked to, their son's name is Elliot, is in a district without mask mandates. And I know he's masking up to go to school. But what did his mom, Caitlin, have to say about what the rest of the classroom looks like? I mean, are there kids or teachers or administrators wearing masks?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So I did ask Caitlin what it looked like. And, you know, it was only the second day of school, so there's still a lot of unknowns. But at this point in Elliot's second grade class, it seemed like a couple of kids were wearing masks, including Elliot. And surprisingly, or at least to Caitlin's surprise, his teacher was wearing a mask. And that was actually a huge relief for her because she really didn't know what to expect. So definitely the majority of people are not wearing masks, but there are some people who are.
It totally makes sense that Caitlin would be concerned that Elliot might get bullied for this. And, it, you know, what she said about, you know, you ask your kid, how is it going? And they say, good. Like, you always have to kind of have to look a little bit past the first thing they say. But it sounded like he is feeling fine. Do you know where her concerns were coming from for this?
Yeah, something that didn't make it into the story is that Caitlin is actually really, really active in Brighton at school board meetings. So she's been attending meetings and speaking out about the need for a mask mandate. And because she's been this vocal person in her community, she's actually received a lot of backlash. And this has looked different ways for her. So she explained, you know, this one thing that will happen to her when she goes out to Meijer.
I have worn a mask to Meijer and have been told from people I don't know just passing in the aisle that if I'm so scared, I shouldn't be in the store. Like, I'm just looking at pasta. Why are you talking to me?
She also talked about how it is really hard to hear parents saying that masking your child is abuse.
Someone in one of those public meetings will say that putting a mask on my child is child abuse. And that hurts. It hurts so much because I myself have experienced trauma as a child, not physical abuse. But it's, you know, it's not. It's just not abuse.
And I think it's worth mentioning that Brighton is in Livingston County, which we've already seen rises in cases and cases happening in their schools. So Howell and Heartland opened up schools in August, and just 2 weeks after they opened, each school reported more than 30 cases, or each school district, rather. So Caitlin is now in the position where she's not even asking if, but just when are these outbreaks going to start happening in Brighton? And so it is a real concern for her.
Yeah. I mean, the feelings about this are just running well into the red on the thermometer all over the place. Aaron, you know, the family that you spoke with are Lisa and Judah. I mean, that story was noticeably less heavy, maybe even a little silly. But you did mention that Arlisa was concerned about Judah, too. What were some of the things that came up for her when you guys spoke?
Yeah. So Arlisa was a little ambivalent about returning to school in person. On the one hand, Judah was having a really hard time last year with virtual learning, and so she was excited to get him back into the classroom. On the other hand, you know, she felt like there's so many unknowns.
As it relates to safety, I would probably say 55% there. And part of that is we had a parent orientation. They laid out for parents what the protocol was going to be, what's expected. I say 55% because I really do believe that some of this is, we're building the ship as we sail in a way. So there's still a lot of stuff that even the school districts don't know. This stuff could change at the drop of a hat. I mean, if numbers go up or if something weird happens, then we're all going to go back on shutdown. And so everything that we thought was going to happen is not going to happen. And then, bam, we're back at home again.
So the ambivalence that, you know, we're hearing from our Lisa, I've heard that from other parents, too. I have a godson, actually, who he was not vaccinated, fully vaccinated yet on the first day of school. So his mom held him in virtual learning up until he got his second shot in 2 weeks after. So on the one hand, you know, she's being very cautious. She's being very worried, you know, and just making sure that he's totally vaccinated. And he's in Detroit Public Schools where there's masking and she still wasn't comfortable. But on the other hand, there's this excitement, right, about going back to school. I mean, she also dyed his hair, you know, like this bright color, and he's got some new shoes and he's, you know, all ready for school, just like normal, just like how it was before COVID. And so I think that ambivalence and sort of paradox even is happening a lot with parents, where you're excited to get them back, but you're also worried.
Judah's also on the football team. And our Lisa talked about, you know, this is a contact sport. It's you know, kind of a lot to be in person at school, but the extracurriculars add another layer, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. So Judah has actually been playing football all summer. And so this particular contact is not new this school year. But, you know, she did mention in the story that, you know, she thinks that that's the reason why he got vaccinated, because it is pretty high risk. Right. And, you know, the other piece of that is that, you know, there is an incident with another football team with running into COVID, and it really just made her concerned.
One of the high school teams that they were scheduled to play this week, my understanding is that the entire football team, that team is now in quarantine because several of their players have contracted the virus. So, you know, of course, that was very scary to me. If those kids are in contact with other kids who go to different high school, you know, so it's just this thing that could just kind of like snowball.
One quick note before we let you go. We wanted to mention that Republicans in the state legislature, many of whom represent angry parents who'd rather not have their kids wearing masks, are pushing legislation to ban mask mandates in the state. However, if the measure succeeds, it's going to run headlong into Governor Whitmer's veto pen. You can find a little bit more about that on the full Stateside show from today. You can stream episodes at michiganradio.org. And that's the Stateside podcast for today. I'm April Baer. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's pod was produced by Aaron Allen. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.